Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Good to have you on this morning, Doc.
Oh, it's a blessing to be able to open God's Word again and just get our hearts focused on Him.
Yeah, it's some exciting times going on right now, and I know that we at Northland are right in the middle of revival times with Evangelist Steve Pettit, and I know you've been praying for that all semester long.
Yes, we have, and on Monday we talked about revival, introducing our students in having our hearts open and ready.
Mm-hmm.
Said we're not trying to create an atmosphere. We're not trying to create a revival. We're just going to have the word preached, and we need to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I know God has spoken to me. I can identify when Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And Paul was speaking that as a spiritual individual.
He was. He sure was.
He was not speaking as a carnal or lost man. He was speaking as a spiritual individual. I've been saved many years. And every time the word is preached, there's a refreshing when there's a response to what God has said. It's not enough to be convicted. There must be confession and change.
Well, you mentioned that in the time last night out of Nehemiah, that when the word comes, there's conviction, and the conviction produces confession, and the confession leads to change.
Yes, it should, unless I resist the conviction.
Right. And we saw that last night even in the message.
Yeah, amen. But it's we're in, Dr. Pettit has been doing just a great job with the word and making the applications.
Well, he's always a joy to have around and to sit under his preaching. And that's part of the shepherding process when you think about shaping the hearts and lives of the young people that have been entrusted to us from the churches.
Well, it really is, where we give them the word, make the application.
That really ties into what we want to talk about on the broadcast today. We finished some time ago a series on the psalm that we call the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23. And we noted that that was in the context of two other psalms, Psalm 22, which was the
Good Shepherd,
is in Psalm 22,
of the cross, and then was the Great Shepherd
in Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, who, and then the Chief Shepherd
in Psalm 24.
Then we find in John 10, the shepherd laying down his life
for the sheep.
What we're seeing in 1 Peter 5, the passage we'll study now, the Chief Shepherd, one who comes. So the Good Shepherd dies, the Great Shepherd lives, and the Chief Shepherd comes.
And this passage in 1 Peter, where that whole idea of the Chief Shepherd coming and really dealing with the under-shepherds that he has left for his flock, comes in a context of very great suffering. I mean, this is not a time for the people of God where it was a time of ease and a time of safety. This was under the time of Nero, when he was really coming after the church in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think the focus that we will have for these next two or three broadcasts will be focusing on those who are in that role of under-shepherding.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be applicable for every one of us, but particularly the role of an under-shepherd in difficult times. Peter was preparing the hearts of people in a very difficult time. I mean, there was severe persecution.
Like, and you said, Nero was struggling with his blood pressure a little bit.
Yeah, and he must have had low blood sugar or something. But I know he had an attitude, and the Christians were feeling the pressure of that.
Yes.
And here comes Peter as a leader, as an under-shepherd, with encouragement to other under-shepherds, and showing that a leader needs to instill confidence in pressure times.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting that the study we did on the shepherd psalm in 23.
Right.
Now we, as pastors, call the under-shepherds in that leadership role. And what a role to instill confidence in people in pressure times.
And really, as you said a moment ago, while we're, the focus of the broadcast and a few to come here will be on the specific aspect of under-shepherding, which would be the office of pastor in the local church, the applications go way beyond that. The applications go to my role as somebody leading my family. For example, we have men listening to us today who may not be pastors, but some of the principles we'll be talking about would certainly be applicable to them.
Because it's dealing with the heart, the individual heart. Though we may not have the role, we have the responsibility to obey. We all have a responsibility in that ultimate relationship to Christ. We have different roles.
So
the roles are to be empowered by God and followed very clearly.
When you talked a minute ago about instilling confidence in troubled times, how would you go about doing that?
You look in the verse 19 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, I think it gives us some kind of a heart preparation. After he talks about judgment beginning at the house of God in verse 17, judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begins with us, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, there's a
conclusion.
A challenge.
Yeah.
Because of this, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. One of the distinctives of the believer is the perseverance of the saints. That is, it's not, you say, I make a flippant decision to accept Christ as Savior. Is there perseverance? What is the proof of my new birth?
Yes.
Do I persevere?
Do I endure in the midst of extreme suffering?
And three things in verse 19 to me answer the question, how do we have confidence and how do we instill confidence? Number one, we see it's in God's will.
Okay.
Let them that suffer in verse 19 according to the will of God.
Right.
One thing we have to accept is the fact that we are in God's will.
Even in the midst of that hard time.
Well, in the midst of the hard time. The Christian life is not a cakewalk.
Right.
It's a mistake to assume once you accept Christ as Savior, then you get on this joy boat. No, you enter warfare.
And that's a very good point, because a lot of times people think, boy, this must be happening to me because I'm not doing something I'm supposed to be doing.
I think people who never have pressure are those who never disturb the kingdom of darkness. Those who are sticking their neck out, making an absolute commitment and an abandonment, they can expect suffering to come as a result. There is not a... One of the promises we don't like to claim that Paul told Timothy, all who live godly in Christ Jesus
will
shall suffer persecution. And when you hear promise testimony, very often, hear of someone standing on Sunday night during, hey, what promise are you claiming? Well, I'm claiming the promise of suffering.
I've never heard that.
No, but it is true.
Yeah.
No, so we have to understand we're in God's will. Make sure we're not suffering because of our own ignorance and our own stupidity or our own bad personality, but suffering because we are in God's will. Doing God's will, and the Scripture is replete with examples of people that suffered in those type of things. And Paul certainly modeled that, and then Peter ultimately went to his own death, crucified upside down. And then he said, in God's faithfulness, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So not only in God's will, we realize we are in God's faithfulness. He is the faithful one. We rest in him.
And we can count on it.
Yeah, we can count on that. He is not going to leave us in the midst of the battle. He is going to be there in presence and in power. And that's what's so powerful about Paul's prayers for the saints, that they would realize the external power that's visible, the internal power in us, the eternal. It's a never-ending thing. That, that cry ends ultimately glory in the church.
Yes.
And so when Paul is praying that they would realize the power that's in him in Ephesians, he's the creator. He spoke, and everything came into existence.
You said it before in a previous broadcast, talking about that power in us. That's the internal power you're talking about. Power for us, that's the external power, and then power through us. That's the idea of the eternal. This is ongoing.
That's an ongoing thing, and it's our impact that where God is able to work through us. That
why do you think so many of us don't access that power?
Because we're too flesh-dependent. We're not desperate. We're complacent. If we have a salary, if we have an income that's comfortable, if we have the car we want, if we have generally the home we want, and we have the schedule we want, there's really not much that'll make us desperate, but suffering will make us desperate. And I have a hunch that that is what is going to drive Christians to their knees and ultimately to revival, as we've always seen revival have come out of dark times. Habakkuk illustrates that to me very clearly. That is, Lord, wilt thou not revive us in the midst of the years? What years? Years of horrible suffering.
Famine, attacks.
That came during that time. And I think we're not desperate. There's not a desperation that is evident. And why should we be desperate? I'm not desperate until I get into a place where I cannot do anything but look up. Because so easy does my flesh just get satisfied and complacent. Not intending to, but that's just the way it is. But when we We have a heart that lifts up and cries.
And so sometimes, actually, the goodness of God may be to create that desperation for us.
Oh, by his love and mercy, so that we get to know him more.
And then this is how this all ties in. During those times, this is how we instill confidence, making sure we understand this is God's will and resting in his faithfulness.
Right. And then you see it's in God's ability as a faithful creator. And when you study the whole creation and how he spoke and how he created and how he sustains, we see his power all wrapped up into that. Mm-hmm. So how do we instill confidence? Peter was reminding them in God's will, in God's faithfulness, in God's ability. Mm-hmm. And it's not us. And it's
and that's true for any of us. Whether you're a dad or whether you're leading a Sunday school class or whether you're working with some junior hires, whatever realm you're in, this is absolutely essential.
Right. And so Peter is really getting the people prepared. And then he turns his direction to helping them prepare in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He's reminding them of who they are in Christ, their salvation, their surrender, their suffering, and ultimately the sharing in the glory are the things that are dealing with Peter's relationship. He was talking about their salvation. Verse 10, but the God of all grace who called us, in chapter 5 and verse 10, unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So we find the relationship of the under-shepherd has to be anchored in Christ. It's a poor blind man trying to lead blind people if he does not know Christ as Savior, if he does not have that relationship.
His relationship to the people of God is anchored in his relationship to the God of the people.
Right, and then he talks about the surrender that leads to the suffering in verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Unto his eternal glory, after ye suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, firm, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. And we see the anchor points that are there in the surrender and in the suffering that have to be there. We'll actually get into these more thoroughly.
Yeah, I'd actually like to develop those concepts, because while we're talking about a specific aspect of shepherding with the under-shepherd of God, these really are true for any of us.
We have to accept the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling through this world. And because we are strangers and pilgrims, we have to understand we don't fit. We have to be different in order that we might be an impact with a message of salvation, a message of the gospel. Along with that is suffering sometimes.
Well, on that note, Doc, we're going to have to wrap the broadcast up today. Those of you that are listening, I hope that you will join us the next time that we're together when we continue our study on shepherding the flock of God. I hope that you'll be praying for the broadcasts, and as we continue in this exciting study, that the Lord will use his word to continue to grow your life. Until then, may the Lord bless you.